This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Rumbling out of D.C. And, oh, how much money will you spend during the holidays? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Here we are on the doorstep of America tonight, celebrating 10 years as we roll into 2019. The Senate advanced a resolution on Wednesday to end U.S. support for Saudi Arabia's military campaign in Yemen. That's a big blow to the Trump administration. They voted 63-37 to discharge that resolution from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. A simple majority was needed to move it forward, and bang, they moved it forward. And of course they moved it forward because there was so much anger of about the Khashoggi killing, and I think that that has spilled over both Democrats and Republicans, depending on who they are. So what does that mean? It means the handwriting's on the wall that when it comes to the Saudis, it's not a blank check. It's not just an easy handshake when we look at the legislative branch, I think. Anyway, but, you know, you got to go full bore, and then what happens there can be very different from bouncing out of one committee. Now, this is frightening. The Dow surged 618 points after the Fed chair signaled the rates are near neutral. It's frightening because people are always talking about the doom and gloom. And how many times have I said on this show, it's like the craps table. You know, it's that one little roll that you want to see fall in the right direction, because with investments, there is no sure thing. Wouldn't it be great if there was an absolutely sure thing? When you hit it big, it's a sure thing. When your buddy down the street says, I think you should invest in this, and then it happens. But, and of course, I'm not saying insider trading, but somebody tells you about something that looks like it could be pretty good. But stocks just roared on the Federal Reserve Chairman's chair, Jerome Powell, saying interest rates are close to neutral. And that's a big change in tone from what we've seen before. So we saw some big jumps. I mean, interest rates are still pretty historically low, but neutral tells you something for the economy, that either that neither it's spending is up or slowing down growth. I mean, neither one. So that neutral is a decent thing. It's market reaction that's happened and just below and whatnot. When you say it's, you know, when people predict the doom and gloom of possible recession and there's any kind of dark news, then it rolls in another direction, or if earnings reports are off. So it's the biggest rally in 8 months. 8 months. Wow. Crazy. So while that's going on with the market bounce, the GM buyout is this. Here's what they offered the employees. Before the layoff announcement, they offered voluntary buyouts to 17,700 employees, because they say stiff competition and a tough economy. And, oh, by the way, lousy cars that they bet on. About 2,250 workers took the buyouts. The company was hoping for 8,000 voluntary separations. They didn't get that. And then they announced 14,000 jobs would be cut. So that's happening. So they're not going to save any money in that department. They're going to halt production at 5 factories in North America and cut all those jobs. And it's their biggest restructuring since 2009. And it's weird because, of course, the news falls on the heels of a pretty strong quarter. But they're not selling the cars they need to be selling, so they can see the handwriting on the wall, period. You know, so some of those people that got the buyouts, they could leave this week, even though their official day wouldn't be till January 31st, and salary and benefits continuing for 6 months after that. Executives could also leave in December. Their effective last day would be February 28th, and a full year of salary and benefits. That's what the severance deal was. Well, that's pretty nice, right? If you're an executive, you get to leave and get the full year. Man, see the difference? The guy on the line. Yeah, we give you 6 months, but the person pushing the papers, and there might be some great executives, but they're getting the full benefit, right, of that whole thing. One thing that was announced is that nothing's being closed in Mexico and China. So the president continues to insist that he could cut the company's federal subsidies. And they're studying the tariffs on cars imported to the U.S. because of what they're saying is the GM event. But here's the thing. The CEO realizes, because we saw what happened in 2008 and 2009, that the move would save $6 billion a year. So, of course, shares jumped almost 5%. But then the Trump tweets drove the stock back down, and they fell. You remember these shares fell by almost 20% during the last year. And if they don't have... You know, if they're not careful, they could completely implode. And she knows that. So what was the alternative? Here's the deal. It shows you, I think, on how much you need to forecast ahead and realize that those crossovers are so big with people. And, they're like mini SUVs. And watch what the public trends are. For goodness sake, invest from people who are good at forecasting. And I don't care what the crazy designs are, but betting on the cruise, the Chevy Cruise, and betting on the Volt, which didn't, might as well have exploded on its own, which didn't do much of anything, except for it sounded like people were in line for it, but not enough of it. Well, guess what? You gotta forecast better. That's why when I'm speaking, I always talk about this. If I go into companies about disruption and the importance of disruption and change, and disruption doesn't have to be a dirty word. It could be that if they had forecasted better at GM, those people wouldn't have lost their jobs. If they had the right kind of vehicles that they were pushing that fit the times, then they wouldn't have most likely had to cut those jobs. Especially in businesses where you produce something like a car, by the way. So you gotta pick the right designs. You gotta really, I think, do some serious surveys and searching to find out what people are going to spend money on. And I'm not saying they didn't do any of that, but there had to be a better way to roll that all out. Had to be a better way. Absolutely. All right. A couple of other things popped up on the radar besides the, the Senate bill to stop the Saudis in Yemen, although that was incredibly big and incredibly, I would say, surprising. But how about this? And I mentioned this briefly the other day, but Ohio becomes the first state to allow payments using Bitcoin. So despite accepting the digital currency, the state government will not hold on to any cryptocurrency. But the state treasurer, Josh Mandel, said payments made on OhioCrypto.com will be immediately converted to dollars, then deposited into a state account. How about that? Ohio partnering with BitPay. Smart, I think. I do. Very, very smart. Stay with us. More Odds and Ends with Shaken coming up next.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Country. I hope you're awake. If you're not, I give you permission to take a breath, go to the bathroom or the sink and throw some water on your face, open your eyes, and are you ready for this? Who do you think the highest paid television host is? Any guesses? Highest paid television host? I bet that most of you would think Ellen, right? Because they're always advertising Ellen, 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 Ellen. You hear her voice in all the commercials. People like her. She's popular, period, right? She's not the highest paid. You know who the highest paid is? Judge Judy. She earned $147 million last year. Wow. Judge Judy. Aren't you lucky that you dove into that world? Because what it is last year she sold the rights to her library, 5,200 episodes, as well as future episodes of the show, to CBS for $100 million. So between that paycheck and the $57 million she gets for hosting Judge Judy and producing Hot Bench, she took in a triple. Hoo-hoo. That's a triple. What do you do with that kind of money? She's got grandkids and all that, but still. So she's the 48th richest self-made woman in America. Her net worth is $400 million. So while a lot of the nighttime hosts get all this attention, Really, it's the daytime hosts that make the juicy bucks. Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil makes some pretty good money. And what's strange is Judge Judy gets about 10 million viewers. Dr. Phil gets about 4 million. And then if you look at, like, Sean Hannity, 3.3, Maddow, Rachel Maddow, 2.9. So the daytime shows, they say, attract the 18 to 49-year-old women who advertisers spend most of their money on. And it's thanks to those high ratings that Starz hosts can negotiate such great deals because of that amount of, you know, bounce that they get. So it's like Ryan Seacrest and Kelly. They have the Kelly and Ryan show. He saw his money jump up from $58 million to $74 million, thanks in part to the money that he gets from doing that daytime show, too. So daytime talk is where it's at. I mean, daytime talk is some serious coin. And especially, again, Judge Judy, she's popular. Why? Because it's funny. She takes no prisoners. She certainly was in the legal system. She is a judge. And people like that. I think they like the way she just cuts to the quick, whoever is, or they don't like her, but they pay attention. She absolutely has people riveted to that. And you think about it, doctor's office, dentist's office, prisons, you know, households. She's got people watching. I don't know if she's ever had in the case of an electric scooter, but I know that I've seen a lot of electric scooters lately. And I was looking at a story about electric scooters, that the fact that in March of this past year of 2018, a handful of tech companies dropped thousands of e-scooters across about 100 cities, and injuries have soared. Two people have been killed in electric scooter accidents. Trauma surgeons are reporting a lot of problems in San Diego to Denver to Austin, some life-threatening, some people are disabled. There's something about the electric scooters. It was supposedly a fun way to get to where you had to get to when you were close by, you know, just go a couple of miles. But now it's, you know, the rider doesn't have control. They run into a curb. They run into a wall. Throttle gets stuck. The brakes fail. And, boy, I've seen some of these accidents, and, you know, one was just described that I was reading about where there was this hill in San Diego, and a man was flying down the hill. So before careening into the intersection, his, you know, wife held up her arms against her chest and, you know, slid the, she was on it, rather, and her husband was trying to stop her. You know, waved her stop or whatever. She held her arms up against her chest and slid the scooter sideways. It went 10 feet on the pavement. If it didn't crash, you know, then she would have been killed. So two surgeries later, she has a broken metacarpal held together with two pins in her right hand, a cracked knuckle joint, road rash, hematoma down her entire right leg, left hand swollen so badly they had to cut off her rings. And so women and men, all kinds of people, are on these electric scooters. I've just been persuaded that, I don't know, you hit the ground 20 miles an hour. They say it's the same as a baseball bat hitting your head at 20 miles an hour. That's a scary comparison, right? I mean, anything can happen to us. But I have noticed there's been a lot of these scooters flying around, too, so I've noticed that as well. All right, let's jump to something else. So we go from that to the scooters to bouncing back to something interesting. The Renoir landscape, Renoir, was ready to go up for auction. And then it disappeared. A man and two accomplices, they say, walked into a Vienna auction house this week, hijacked a Renoir landscape before splitting up and slipping from the building into the crowd, like a movie. And this unique landscape was estimated to be worth between somewhere in that $135,000 range. And they had it all over Twitter before it was going to be auctioned. Surveillance video showed a group of three men who went to the second floor before pulling the painting from the frame. Oh, I think I'll have that. Thank you very much. And then they were carrying shopping bags, and then they just disappeared. That's it. They just walked out with it. So they, of course, the painting sold at Sotheby's in the 90s for $56,000. The art loss register has 393 stolen Renoirs, 30 more fakes. Here's the thing. I've heard that sometimes the fakes are so good you can't tell the fakes from the reals. You can't tell. I don't know. If you can drop that kind of money on paintings, then you can find your way back from that, right? You're not dumping your life savings into it, is what I'm thinking. All right, this is incredibly, incredibly sad to me that, and I spent some time, a lot of time in Florida. I've said that before, and I just was there in the summer, a couple of different places. But over the past couple of days, an alarming number of dead dolphins have washed ashore along the South Florida beaches, including in the Tampa Bay area, they're saying. And so that red tide threat is still pretty visible. And they're wondering how many more. I mean, they're saying a couple of them at least. About 109 recorded dolphin deaths throughout Southwest Florida since red tide has been a factor. 20 dead dolphins have washed ashore, and the number continues to climb. Oh, boy, that is sad. There's nothing like walking on a beach and seeing a dolphin, like seeing a school of dolphins, or whatever they call them. I don't know if they call it a school. But seeing them together, and I've seen that. I've seen that in California off the shores of Pismo Beach, and I've seen it in Tampa as well. And that whole look is going to be spoiled if dead dolphins are washing up. Terrible. Another example of why you have to pay attention when you drive. Quickly, I'll tell you this one. The state patrol is reminding people not to do Netflix and drive. A woman crashed her car while she was watching a streaming service on her iPad. What could possibly be that interesting that you're not paying attention to the road and you crash? Come on, people. Don't stream and drive. Hang with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's plea deal with the Russia probe may be broken, but he may have an ace in the hole when it comes to those federal charges. Signaling a pardon is still a possibility for Manafort. The president tells the New York Post it's not off the table. He says he hasn't discussed a pardon, but he did ask a lawyer during an interview, why would I take it off the table? that as word emerges that the president's lawyers have been talking with Manafort's attorneys all during the time that Manafort has been talking with special counsel under the terms of his plea agreement. Prosecutors this week said Manafort has lied to them and violated the deal. The president wrote to the Mueller team that he was never told about WikiLeaks and the DNC emails, or the meeting at Trump Tower with the Russian lawyer. You're listening to USA Radio News.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Well, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
So thrilled to catch up with Mikey Edwards. He's one of the 10 tenors. They are so popular, they are back by popular demand. I'm one of those people who loves the 10 tenors. It's their second time around. And they've got so many performances lined up, lucky for all of us here in the States. The 10 Tenors do this really cool thing where when they sell copies of Our Christmas Wish, some of that goes to the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, which, of course, we love St. Jude's. In fact, these guys have raised a ton of money for St. Jude's. We're going to talk about that. And let's talk about the 10 Tenors, of course, and what it's like touring. The 10 Tenors blend rock, pop, and opera with, you know, all the charm and charisma that one can muster up. How's that? All right, Mikey, what an introduction, huh? Did I do you good?
That was quite the introduction. I don't know what to say next. Thank you so much. Hi.
So you come to the States, you're popular here, and you're touring. What's it like, first of all, touring with nine other guys, and how did you guys form this group?
Well, the group started over 20 years ago in Brisbane, in Australia. It kind of got together as a bit of a corporate act, as a bit of a one-off thing. But the concept and the ideas really seemed to appeal to audiences. So they started touring regional Australia, and before too long they were doing international tours. Obviously, 23 years ago, members have come and gone, and there are no originals with the group, but the group is touring as much as ever.
So what's it like for you being a classically trained tenor who basically, and I said it, you rock out with the other guys to icons like David Bowie and Prince? I mean, that's sort of an anomaly.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things that we really try to do is kind of celebrate as many types of tenors that we can. So, yeah, we've got Pavarotti in the show, but yeah, as you say, we've got Bowie, we've got Queen. It's probably one of the biggest challenges about being in the group, having to cover so many styles, but I think it was one of the best things about joining the group, getting to sing so much music that I hadn't really been able to sing before. So it's one of my favorite bits about being in the group is the diverse music that we cover.
So here's the key. Are you a tenor one or a tenor two?
Well, we do lots of switching up throughout the show. So during some songs, I might be a tenor one, and then during some other songs, I might be a tenor two. Yeah, we keep it interesting.
No kidding. How long have you been, you know, singing? How long has that been, you know, part of what's the passion that drives you since you were a kid?
Yeah, I started singing when I was 8 years old. I was a boy soprano, and I sang in a children's choir in Melbourne, and I just loved it, and went on to study it, and I've been touring with the Ten Tenors for 4 years now, so just kind of can't get enough.
So when you're touring with the guys, and here you are traveling around the U.S., you know, we talk about food all the time. So, for example, I grew up in Philly. When you go to Philadelphia, everybody talks about cheesesteaks and pretzels. If you're in Kansas, they talk about beef. If you're in California, they talk about sushi or fish tacos. What's been your best food experience so far?
Well, I love barbecue. I just love it. So whenever we're kind of in the south around Kansas or in Oklahoma, you'll see me at a barbecue joint.
Inhaling the barbecue with, do you like the spicy sauce?
I like spicy wet barbecue. That's all me.
Oh, then you fit in perfectly. Obviously your accents attract attention. There's all of you traveling together. People, I think, get what you, certainly they've seen you, they get what you do. Do you find that you get quizzical looks sometimes when you're touring around?
Well, yeah, sometimes we do because it's hard to not notice kind of 10 Australians walking through either a pub or bar or restaurant or something like that. So we often do, and people go, what are you doing here? And sometimes we end up in the most unlikely places. But that's definitely one of the best parts of that touring, I think.
I have a friend from Melbourne, and she talks to me all the time about kangaroos, the roos, she says. And she says the roos are just like pets. I mean, they're not pets, but they're all over the place. So is that true? I mean, you go there and you can easily perhaps see one when you're driving down the road?
I mean, they're not in the city. Like in Melbourne, for instance, you're not going to see one. They're not in the streets of the city. But you don't actually have to travel that too far out of the city and you will see some wild kangaroos. But they're not hopping down the street. I can tell you that much.
They're not hopping down the street. All right, how about koalas? Sometimes there's some confusion. They're so cute when they're stuffed. They're gorgeous when they're at a zoo. But you grew up with koalas. What are they like? Do they bite?
They're actually really grumpy. They just kind of snarl and don't do a whole lot. They just sit in a tree and just kind of snarl and grumble away. I think they're just a really really angry animal.
They're an angry animal. That's great. You just destroyed my picture. Okay, I have to ask you about this because I like music, I like sports, we like all kinds of things here on this show and the people listening do. And there's always that argument about why do you call, you know, Aussie rules football, come on, it's not like the NFL. So what are the dickens about Aussie rules football? What's the deal about that?
I mean, it's just, well, actually in Australia there's kind of in the south, everybody plays Aussie rules, and in the north, everybody plays rugby. So we can't even really make up our own minds back home. But, yeah, it's the most popular game. We love it. In Melbourne, especially where I'm from, around September, which is the end of the season, it's just footy, footy crazy.
I bet it's crazy. And then I have to ask you this. I have to ask you this question too, because this is the first thing it really Americans say. The idea about the water spinning in a different direction in Australia than the U.S. Why is that?
I actually would have no idea. I'm not even sure if I've paid close enough attention to even notice something like that. But I I will go home, try and figure it out, and report back.
All right, I'm going to give you my email address, and we want you to call in because we want to know. That is a big burning question for me. We're speaking with Mikey Edwards of the 10 Tenors, and the 10 Tenors, as you heard we talk about, blend rock and pop and opera, and they've got fans all over the place. I mean, 90 million plus have certainly seen them. And you've got these Home for the Holidays concerts, and they've got music from the 10 Tenors' top 10 album, Our Christmas Wish. Why do you think people like Christmas music so much?
I think it just really gets you in the mood, doesn't it? After Thanksgiving, I've started to hear Christmas tunes in the shopping malls, and it's getting me excited and getting me in the holiday spirit. And I think everybody just loves to sing along to them, so people are more than welcome to do that at our show.
Do you don't want me singing. I'm not a 10 or 1, a 10 or 2. I'm not a bass or a baritone. I don't know what I am, but I know I scared the dog.
Well, that's always fun, too.
Yeah. Who's that woman there trying to sing? So when we talk about your Christmas songs, as you said, it gets people in the mood. Do you have a favorite one? Is it White Christmas? Is it Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You? What do you like?
Yeah, my favorite is White Christmas. I love that song, which is funny considering we don't get White Christmases in Australia, but I just absolutely love that song. And maybe I just enjoy dreaming of a White Christmas. So
nice. Well, you might get to see some white snow as you are cruising around the U.S. I mentioned you're in a whole bunch of different places. You talked about barbecue and loving barbecue, so we know you like Kansas and those areas. Do you have a favorite city or a place that you've been to?
One of my favorite places that we went to on tour maybe 3 years ago, we went to New Orleans in Louisiana, and I just absolutely loved that city. It was so much fun, and we did a really cool gig there at one of their newly reopened theaters, and yeah, that was definitely a highlight of the state to me.
That's perfect. You said New Orleans because, of course, people are listening to us in New Orleans. And I love New Orleans, too. I know exactly what you mean. But here's the key, Mikey. You fall in love with New Orleans, and when you're there, you got to be careful because it's so easy to want to just plant yourself there.
I can imagine.
Sucks you in, and you want to stay. So let's talk about, and I mentioned this, the proceeds and how much of that goes toward, but just in general, what happens with the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Obviously, this is important to you guys because you've raised so much money already for them.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, we released our Christmas album, Our Christmas Wish, in Australia, and we teamed up with a charity there called the Children's Hospital Foundation. And I think Christmas is a time for giving, and it's a time to be, you know, supporting really important causes. And when we were releasing the album in the States, there was no better organization than St. Jude Children's Research Hospital to do the same thing. So in 2016, we went to Memphis and we visited St. Jude, and we just absolutely were in awe of what they do there. And so we're really excited to be continuing to partner with them and donating all the net profits from that album straight to the kids.
Oh, I love it. So if somebody wants to get a copy of the album, how can they do that?
They can go online and they can get it on iTunes, or they can get it at Walmart, or they can come to our shows.
Perfect. I love it. Mikey Edwards, 10 Tenors, thank you so much for joining us, and you got to find out about that water thing. It's very strange.
I'll let you know.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you so much.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Back from somewhere, you know how it is with me, and I read this great book, Model Marine. Sandra Sykes Meek joins us now. She's the author of that book. And, you know, people know I'm a voracious reader and I love to read. But with the speaking and the show, and of course, as all of you know, I'm pulled on all kinds of directions, sometimes it's hard for me to focus lately. But boy, could I really focus on this one. It was such a great novel, I have to say. So, Sandra, it was a page turner. What a great story and what a novel you have weaved. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. That makes my day hearing you say that. It was a lot of love that went into that. So I hope it was a great read, and I hope it's one of those stories that can relate to a lot of people, or a lot of people can relate to.
Right. And see, I think that's what it is, that a lot of people can relate to it. So when you set out on doing that, you know, this kind of a novel, what was that process like for you?
It was a very long process for me because it was so important for me to get the story right. So when I first conceived this idea, I was still on active duty. I retired in 2010, and I began a master's program for creative writing, and I knew that the story I wanted to tell had to be about the Marine Corps and about women Marines specifically, mostly because I don't think that they are very well known, or I should say not much is known about them. So I worked on my master's program for a couple of years, developed my thesis, but when I was done with it, I wasn't ready to let it go. It wasn't where I needed it to be. So I entered back into the workforce after retiring from the Marine Corps, and I would say it sat on the shelf for about 5 years, and one day I just woke up and said, I have to finish this. And so I wrote like a maniac for about 6 months. That was in 2017. And I spent my weekends and mornings working on the book. And I wanted to bring in a lot of different themes. I wanted people to know about traumatic brain injury. I wanted people to understand what the combat experience is like. In our era of war. And so I think it was a lot of attention to detail and just a lot of time spent making sure that I got the story right. And I also wrote the story in a way so that people who were reading it, they had to put the puzzle pieces together a lot like people who have traumatic brain injury do.
Wow, and that's what I think made it really so unique. So that's pulling all the aspects of it together, right? So the narration, the plot, the symbolism, all of that went into this really giant puzzle. Is that what it was like?
Yes, it was. And sometimes I would get confused in the writing process, and I'd say, oh, my goodness, I have this character doing the wrong thing right now. So, yes, it was a puzzle that needed to be put together. I wanted the reader to experience that feeling that people who have traumatic brain injury and PTSD experience. So, and I also wanted to give readers multiple perspectives so that they understood this combat experience from several sides of the story. And I hope I did that.
Yeah. So that's it. So the vantage point of what you think, what you're showing, and what an individual thinks, because we all have a different way of pulling something in and then thinking what that means and what the perception of truth is, right?
That's right. We all think truth is black and white, but I believe it's definitely gray, and it's definitely influenced by our perception. You know, our vantage point, what we're seeing, it can look completely different to someone from a different vantage point.
Boy, is that the truth. I think that's why it really resonated with me, because I'm definitely a gray person, too. I agree with you. It's not black and white. Tell us a little bit about your experience. You did a little, you know, mentioning what happened and putting it on the shelf and that kind of thing. What was your experience like as a Marine for you?
Oh, I love the Marine Corps. You know, it wasn't black and white either. there were things about the Marine Corps that are very special to me, the sense of family. I could see any Marine from any time, any era. And we established that we were both Marines. We talk about when we served, where we served, who we served with, and we have an instant bond. I think the Marine Corps is a very unique organization, and I think it brings out the best in a lot of people, but that doesn't mean it always does. And there's always going to be a little bit of negative in every organization. And I wanted to be honest about that in this story. I wanted to be truthful in how I represented the Marine Corps. And I would say that overall my experience was great. I got to go on a couple of combat deployments. And I also married a Marine who also went on a couple of combat deployments. And we had a family together in the Marine Corps. And so it was a very unique experience. And I would say that there are some parts of that story where similar events that occurred in that story happened or I observed, you know, in my time in the Marine Corps. But I would say that there's always three sides to every story.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? There always is different. There's different sides to every story. Who knows how many sides there are actually? And in reading this, and you said it a little bit for sure. What do you really hope your impact is with the novel? I mean, obviously, want people, like I said in the beginning, I really enjoyed it. There was a story there, because ultimately, when you write a novel, it's about keeping our attention, pulling us through it, making us get to the end and feel something. What do you hope that the readers take away from reading Model Marine?
I hope they better understand veterans. I hope that readers understand and remember that many of us can have different opinions and different perspectives, and we can still be a family. You know, I would like to think that my characters had very different opinions on things, but it was evident that they operated as a team, and in a lot of ways they were a family. And that goes for, you know, the civilians in the story as well. We all have a place we're coming from, and I just wanted people to understand the military experience, understand how the Marine Corps is, what it's like for a woman in the Marine Corps, and understand that we all need to be a little more understanding of each other. is really what it boils down to.
Wow, well said. And we're speaking with Sandra Sykes Meek. The book is called Model Marine. Have any of your, as you said, you're like a family, have any Marines that you serve with, did you send the book to any of them?
Yes, I have. So I keep in touch with several of the Marines that I served with. And they're closer than family, a lot of them. And even though we haven't seen each other in years, you know, anytime I travel and I'm in a location where I know that one of my former Marines is there, I'm going to go and see them. So, yes.
Yeah. So here's the question. What did they tell you? Did they love it?
So the female Marines I have received feedback from have all said they loved it. I've not received any negative feedback from any Marine, actually, male or female. And I hear things, I get comments like, it reminded me of boot camp, or it reminded me of, you know, such and such deployment, or, you know, it just takes them back to that experience that most of us really treasure.
Yeah, I mean, again, the character's wonderful. Is this something you'd continue? Would you do another novel?
Absolutely. I want badly to write another novel or several. What my problem is that I haven't decided on what's next. I have short stories in development that have nothing to do with the Marine Corps, and I have some outlines of other stories that I'd like to develop. But I believe that if Model Marine does well and people really connect with those characters, that's a story I would like to consider, you know, doing a series on.
Yep. Well, I loved it. Sandra Sykes Meek, pick up the book. It's called Model Marine, Amazon, etc. That's where you can get it. And thanks to you and thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, Kate.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.